February 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Grant High School Auditorium, 2245 Northeast 36th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
We will not bow down to racism.
We will not bow down to
injustice.
We will not bow down to
exploitation. I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna stand.
Now this is time for free your mind and your soul. Yo, our story has never been told. Ladies, you got to demand what you want, and what we want is respect, right?
Come and take a walk with me. Come so walk with me. See what only I can see.
Sisters, check this. Watch this.
Opportunity, you in jeopardy. Yo, yo, set me free, don't end them and let me be.
I'm fighting for freedom, I got the heat in case you need them. A straight soldier, ain't nobody told ya.
We've been together since I created border. The African border celebration is in order.
My only chance of being free is to fly within me, and it's illegal to kill a freaking eagle. A bird is never more important than my people. I guess we didn't need him, so I took away his freedom.
Telling us these lies, listening to The Struggle. It's me again, Olivia. Happy Valentine's Day, Alyssa.
Hi, Olivia. Happy Valentine's Day.
Little tiny hearts all over your body and your clothing.
Yeah, a small child came up and put felt stickers all over me and white, pink, and red hearts. So
I know a child did it. It's very sweet.
Happy Valentine's Day. Love yourself.
I do love you. Love yourself, girl.
Well, you have to introduce our guest.
Yes, we have a guest in the studio. It's been a long time, but we have one finally. We got somebody to finally come in and talk to us besides each other. It's Lilith. Hi, Lilith. Want to introduce yourself?
Hi. Yeah. So my name is Lilith Sinclair. I'm a local organizer out of Portland. I'm engaged in a lot of different work. I work at Jobs with Justice as a worker center organizer. I also am the spokesperson of Decrim Oregon, a local movement fighting for the decriminalization of sex work, as well as a lot of other different buckets of work I'm engaged in.
So which one of these are we going to talk about first? We're going to talk about the decrim stuff, or do you want to give people a 101 on what is a worker center?
Let's talk about decrim.
Okay.
Give it to me.
Yeah. So decriminalization of sex work is the rising political movement that is sweeping the nation. Sex workers are finally being listened to some degree in regards to demands for the decriminalization of sex work, which essentially is a request for the state to take itself out of the question in regards to criminalizing, stigmatizing, and processing against all of the use of sex work or the engagement in sex work. So what that really looks like, breaking it down a little bit more, is
all laws that are in regards to sex work being taken off the books so that it would not be criminalized further. It leaves in place any laws or criminalizations against human trafficking, against child exploitation and the like, and ensures that sex workers have the opportunity and autonomy to organize amongst themselves for safety, security, and access to resources.
So what is the most immediate hurdle that you're going to be getting through in the long fight?
The most immediate hurdle?
Yeah, like what's the next thing that you're looking at in this long campaign? I know it's going to be a while.
Yeah, so Decrim Oregon is new. What we're doing right now, so Decrim Oregon is a collaborative effort that was born of a team of sex workers and our allies, right? And so at this point, what we're doing is we are building our base right now. We're having conversations with folks. We're letting them know that Decrim Oregon exists. And we're really at the point in our campaign where we're doing a lot of work around community education. A lot of people don't know what decriminalization efforts look like. They don't know or have an understanding of the way that the language that is written into these legal codes not only affects sex workers, but affects the people spread throughout their lives in regards to the way that coercion and victimization is defined within the legal code, the ways that so many efforts to quote unquote end demand or to enact partial legislation or partial decrim legislation that would decriminalize the sale of sex work but continue to criminalize the purchasing of sex work are still inherently exploitative and disastrous for sex workers in so many ways. So right now what we're doing is we're spreading the news that decrim exists. We are doing community education efforts and we're asking people to reach out and get involved, which they can do by following us on all of our social media accounts at Decrim Oregon across Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or shooting us an email at decrimoregon@protonmail.com.
Thank you very much. I want to ask you a question about this, but we need to jump to another friend of the show, good friend of Alyssa's, good friend of mine.
Good friend of the working
the
class.
The grandfather of Portland's working class. It's Jamie Partridge. Jamie, are you there? Are you patched through?
Hey.
Hi, Jamie. I can't see you, but I can hear you. All I can see
I'm over here.
Wonderful. How are you doing?
We're doing great. This is Happy V-Day.
Happy V-Day. Oh, I feel the love and I feel the struggle.
All right. So
power in this room.
We've been listening to The Struggle with Alyssa Pariah, and Olivia Pace, and Lilith
Sinclair.
And it's KBOO's winter membership drive. So, dear listener, I want you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 and become a KBOO member.
Yes, please.
Or,
thank the people.
Yeah. If you can make a, you can also make a secure donation online at kboo.fm. And as our hosts announced, I'm Jamie, and I'm a volunteer programmer also on KBOO on Labor Radio on Monday evenings. And I'm thrilled to be here on The Struggle and to share with you why it's important for you to support KBOO right now. I don't know if you do you understand, dear listener, that we have here on this show local leaders of the most powerful social movements in Portland, the labor movement, the Black Liberation Movement, queer and trans movements, the women's movements. They're here in this in this space, and you're listening to them. I mean, we don't have just armchair activists in the studios of KBOO giving you public affairs programming. We have people that are in the streets and in the boardrooms and fighting the good fight. And they're not just bringing you the news, the new doom and gloom, but they're bringing you the how to fight, the news that we can use mm-hmm. on a daily basis. And yeah.
The news that we can use. I love that.
and we're going to hear more tonight about the fight to decriminalize sex work and how you can mm-hmm. get involved. But what I'm asking for you tonight to do is go to your phone or online to kboo.fm or go to your phone and dial 877-500-5266 and become a KBOO member. You've probably been a KBOO listener for a while, but what you need to do is join up. Put in a little spirit change for some social change. You know, it's a lot of people listen to KBOO. About 80,000 people listen to KBOO each week, but only 6,000 are active members. And it costs money to run this station. I mean, listening is free, but it's not free to produce. You know, we've got a transmitter and a translation tower rental, $51,000, utilities, $42,000, news service, Democracy Now! Everybody loves Democracy Now!
They do.
Free speech radio news, repairing equipment, replacement. And then, of course, coffee. But
the fuel of the revolution.
That's right. So we need you. You need this show to be on the air, and you need KBOO to survive. So go to your phone and dial 877-500-5266. Become a KBOO member or sustain KBOO. We're asking folks to consider like a $10 a month sustainer pledge. You hardly even notice it coming out of your bank account or your credit card. Or you can go online at kboo.fm. And now let's hear back to The Struggle.
So good.
Thank you so much, Jamie. Yeah, 74,000 of you are listening to my voice right this very second. I know it. But you're not members. So yeah, that's 877-500-5266. Woo!
Your heart and your fist are the same size. Keep loving. Keep fighting.
Exactly. It's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So remember that.
Yeah.
Let's get it. Lilith.
So I'm looking at this little pamphlet that Decrim Oregon put out. It says, Right, Not Rescues.
Rights, Not Rescues.
What is the significance of that tagline?
So the significance of the phrase rights not rescue is in regards to the fact that so many people look at sex workers and see us as victims, no matter how we have decided to engage in sex work, no matter the circumstances that led to us engaging in sex work, whether sex work is empowerment for us or if it is just a job like any other, something that we do to continue to survive under late stage capitalism. A lot of people look at sex workers and like to put out this idea that there is, to quote a common talking point, allegedly no ability to consent to sexual engagement once money is involved or anything along those lines. There are a lot of people who present themselves as feminists and as allies to the sex workers' rights movement who engage in a lot of counter-revolutionary behavior. We call those people SWERFs, sex worker exclusionary radical feminists. And a lot of people of that designation tend to say that, you know, the way that we want to help sex workers is by making sure that no one ever has to or can do sex work again, because mm-hmm. sex work is allegedly mm-hmm. inherently exploitative, and they like to remove any autonomy that sex workers have to speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so one of the big things that this results in is a pairing of the SWERF, sex worker inclusionary radical feminist movement, with the patriarchy and with the religious institutions who would mm-hmm. love to see sexual freedom be put under the chopping block and to go back to the days when obscenity laws, for instance, were weaponized against people for their sexuality. Inherently, there is a direct correlation with the LGBTQ rights movement and the sex worker rights movement. We talk a lot about Marsha Johnson and the fact that she was a black trans sex worker mm-hmm. throwing bricks at Stonewall.
Marsha P. Johnson, and the P is for paying no mind.
So yeah, when we look at the history of these things, we look at the laws that were weaponized against not just sex workers, but also people who society deems as deviant. We see the ways that sexual freedom and sexual expression are criminalized across the board. And what a lot of people like to do in these religious institutions and in these quote unquote radical but actually very repressive feminist movements is say that we should abolish sex work, mm-hmm. say that we should stop people from having the ability to engage with it. And it's nonsensical, because when you look at abolition in general in regards to freedom of expression or freedom of movement, when we talk about harm reduction, the comparison I like to make for people to understand is when we made an abolition of alcohol legal and we pushed alcohol further into the margins and into back alleyways and into mm-hmm. the sewer systems and, you know, like down into the dives, we saw the rise of so much opportunity for organized crime, exploitation, abuse, and all of these things, because we had pushed things, you know, back away from the light and out of view. And this is exactly what would happen if we were to follow the path that religious institutions and the like would see us walk down, which involves the abolition of sex work. So this is why we say rights, not rescue. We want the ability to speak freely about our experiences without other people telling us what we've experienced. Everyone wants to be an expert on sex work just because they watched some explicit content once when they were 17 years old and they didn't feel too good about it. So
that sounds like they need to work on that on their own and not try to turn their own traumas into policy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your plan to work around those reactionary forces?
Yeah, because I feel like part of why this is so hard is you're not convincing people of the effect. A lot of the time it feels like you're not trying to convince people of the effectiveness of a policy, but you're trying to convince people out of like moral hangups. To add on to Alyssa's question of like, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, so that is really where we come into this piece that we're working on right now, mm-hmm. which is community education, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's walking a fine line. Sex work is an interesting movement to be organizing within, because a lot of people don't understand, but to be out and to be visible as a sex worker is a danger. Part of the Decrim Oregon platform is a recognition that we are not just looking for the decriminalization of sex work. We're actually looking for the decriminalization, destigmatization, and decarceration of sex work and sex workers. When we talk about these religious institutions that put forward an understanding of sexuality that is not one man and one woman married, having sexual relations in the confines of a traditional marriage, everything outside of that is presented as deviant. We know this. We see this on the fake news all the time. But this deviance, like this presentation of these things as deviant, is something that has a very long history here in the United States, especially in the colonized West. And it's about teaching people to look beyond the socialization that they've received to see things as deviant.
Somebody makes a good point.
You go, and we'll get back to that good point once we hear once again from my very, very good friend, Jamie Partridge. Are you there?
Where
can
you
at? Hear me?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Can you hear me?
I'm here. I am so happy and to be enjoying and listening to this complex historical discussion.
Talk about it.
Oh my goodness. Mm. And late stage patriarchy, right? Oh.
Late stage
about,
patriarchy.
About the this struggle to decriminalize sex work. Nowhere else are you going to hear this kind of commentary on the airwaves.
Nowhere.
Not the mainstream white bread media does not allow you this kind of information, and certainly not from sex workers themselves. And thank goodness for, thank the goddess for Kebu.
The goddess. Oh,
thank
Lilith,
you.
The goddess.
Grande.
Thank the goddess.
Happy V-Day.
Happy V-Day.
Yeah, that we have this wonderful community radio station that has in its statement of purpose that it provides a forum for unpopular, controversial, or neglected perspectives, of course, all of which are these perspectives that you're hearing tonight from volunteer programmers, people who, community members, your neighbors, bringing you the news and information that you need that's relevant to your life. And we're not afraid of these complicated issues, these strong opinions, or heated debates, right?
Mm.
In fact, we jump into those conversations because we know they can help you learn, and we know that you're open to hearing about them because you're a KBOO listener. But what we need is for you to become a KBOO member. So we need you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 to become a KBOO member, or if you're already a member, to re-up your membership. We're encouraging folks to become sustainers. Think about contributing like $120 a year. Well, that's only $10 a month. $10 a month, you can get it, take it out of your credit card or your bank account. You hardly even notice it. And you can do that by going online at kboo.fm. And, you know, it's kind of like your union dues, which protects your job, or like your church tithe, which protects your spirit. All right, Alyssa.
Yeah, give you church money so they can protect your spirit.
So the holy temple of KBOO Radio needs your membership to protect your access to information, news, public affairs that you use in your daily life, information that you can use in your conversations with your coworkers, with your friends, with your family, with your neighbors, with your political comrades. I mean, you're going to be able to go out into the world with this information and help change it, because that's what KBOO is all about, changing the world. And let's hear more of this wonderful struggle.
Thank you so much. And you were so pervasive. Oh my God, persuasive. You were so persuasive that Lilith just pulled out her debit card to become a KBOO member.
Lilith. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you for the inspiration.
Well, Lilith, while you're doing that, can I ask you a question?
Please do.
I would like to hear what you have to say, and another question just on how you kind of present your perspectives to people on the decriminalization of sex work. So we talked about the people who have these moral hangups. Some people don't have those moral hangups, but they do still think that sex, or maybe they have less of those moral hangups, but still do enough to the point where they feel like sex work is just usually violent and something that you would rather not be doing under any given circumstances. And they don't support the criminalization of sex workers, but they do support, like you were talking about, the criminalization of buyers. So can you talk about how you discuss with people that we also shouldn't be criminalizing buyers? Because that's something that I feel like people get very confused about a lot of the time.
100%. So the partial decriminalization of sex work is known very commonly as the Nordic model of decriminalization. It's known as either the Nordic model or partial decrim is what it's called. And it is exactly as you described. It's the decriminalization of the sale of sex or sexual contact and the criminalization of the purchasing of sexual services, sexual contact, and the like. And the argument from people who are in support of the Nordic model is often similar to things that you just said in regards to like, oh, well, we don't want to negatively impact sex workers. We know that they're just trying to survive, all of these things. However, it's also, what are some terms they use? Demoralizing or dehumanizing to see human beings as purchasable. We shouldn't be allowing people to exploit women in this way. With a lack of recognition for the fact that, especially under late-stage capitalism, all work that we engage in is exploitative. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have people like Jeff Bezos and Bezos. Other... Yeah.
Don't forget.
Jeff Bezos.
Okay, so we're just going to skirt right around that.
That's crazy. Oh my God, sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry, continue. All work is exploitative.
Around it. Yes, yeah. All work.
Yeah, let's go back to that. You were saying all work is exploitative? Go on.
Yes, all work. All work is exploitative.
All work under, the majority of work under capitalism. Yes. Yeah.
However, continuing down that point, it's important to recognize the ways that we just like to, a lot of people don't like to see women and femmes empowered is the reality. And so one of the reasons that we see this pushback against like the purchasing of sexual services and the want to continue to criminalize it and to draw to act like these things don't, this form of work doesn't intersect with other types of work is, it's about control, right? And it's about wanting to still be able to define what is or is not legitimate work. It's about wanting to be able to define what consent is regardless of what the people in the position to consent have to say about it, myself included, for instance. You see a lot of people, I've had people like, of course, from behind a screen, I can't imagine that anyone would say this to my face, but I've had people tell me that all of the times that I've engaged in consensual sex work, which is a bit redundant because sex work is about consensual contact.
So it's not consensual, it's not sex or sex work or anything.
Exactly.
It's just non-consensual.
Exactly. And so part of the things that I've heard in regards to sex work are that like, oh, like, well, you can't consent once money is involved, or like, don't you feel degraded for selling your body? And the reality is, like, I sit here today in a chair with every piece of my body intact. I continue to own my own autonomy, as all sex workers do, no matter what type of sex work they're engaging in. And so part of the way to help people understand why the Nordic model is exploitative and continues to be a bad method to pursue is sort of like two, maybe threefold. Let's see as it comes out. But like part one is people need to have an understanding that most work under late stage capitalism is exploitative, right? And so because of this, we can't single out sex work and say that we need to criminalize the purchasing of sex work, because you could do the same thing with like purchasing coffee, for instance. I used to work at a Starbucks and that was very exploitative. I can tell you firsthand the amount of times I was forced to burn myself on coffee because someone really just needed 200 degree lattes to get through their day.
That was their king.
For real. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. In a way, it's all never mind.
but therefore, like, I experienced harm as a barista doing sex work, not because I consented to harm, but because I consented to earning a paycheck to survive. And we don't see people out here like, oh, we should stop people being allowed to order coffee. So that's one sort of like parallel way to help people understand why it's nonsensical to be purporting this support for this quote-unquote method of decriminalization. However, one of the other things that people need to understand in the conversation that needs to take place is that
whenever you have criminalization at any step in the process, that means that you are involving the police state in people's business. And the police state having a means of involvement and a justification for involvement is never going to be harm reduction. It's never going to be harm reduction, especially when you have people who are in positions of power and who have the money of the untaxed religious institutions behind them doing a lot of counter-education in regards to sex work being never being consensual. Like, these are all different ways that we struggle with trying to teach the community.
And Jamie Partridge, talk to us about some of the different ways that we can struggle. Please. Are you there?
Yes. Yes. I'm here. Thank you, Olivia Pace, Alyssa Pariah, and our guest tonight, Lilith Sinclair, for this fabulous programming that you get only on this fabulous station. And I'm here to encourage you all to become members of this is KBOO's Winter Membership Drive. And we want you to go to your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 to become a KBOO member. You are not going to get this kind of programming anywhere else on your radio dial. Are you a member of the working class? Well, join KBOO and become an owner. Join the owning class. Every one of the 5,000 members owns
join the owning
a piece of KBOO. Once you join, you're a different person. You know?
You said join the owning class.
Yeah, yeah. Be an owner of KBOO, right? Join and become a member.
In a way. I mean, we should all be a part. The working class should universally turn into the owning class. I guess we could start here if that's what you like, if that's what you want.
That's my pitch. That is my pitch. You get to vote for the board. You get to serve on committees, volunteer to gather news, put on your own show. So join the owning class now. Go to kboo.fm, click on the donate a little button up there, the donate button. Think about becoming a sustaining member. Put in a certain amount every month, you know, $10 a month, whatever you can afford. The only contribution that's too small is the one that you don't make. Let me encourage folks to think about the fact that we have a matching pledge from one of our generous supporters.
Wonderful.
Sugar daddy.
Your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 by a generous supporter throughout this membership drive. You know, the federal funding for community radio is under threat. The president's budget released last week again recommends eliminating public media funding. This means that less of your taxes support your access to community media. Cuts in funding would harm local stations like KBOO. KBOO syndicated programming and our youth collective programming is paid for through federal funding. So Americans deeply value and depend on local public media for lifelong learning, local news, emergency communications, and community dialogue. Your support of KBOO Radio is more important than ever. So call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and become a member tonight, right now. And now, back to the struggle.
It's Valentine's Day. We've talked about it. It's V-Day. Alyssa and Lilith, can I read you a poem that I wrote?
Yeah.
Please
for
do.
You too?
Please do.
Okay. I'm going to do my Portland spoken word poem voice. Roses are red. Wages are too low, so meet me after work and give me some Jeff Bezos. Thanks. Happy Valentine's Day.
Lilith, what are you doing on your phone?
Oh, you know, I was just sitting here and signing up for my monthly pledge to give to KBOO, and I saw a little drop-down menu here that offers me a thank you gift,
oh
depending
gosh.
On the donation that I might place as a monthly pledge. Oh. And so what I'm seeing here is for the low, low price of $25 a month, you can get a two-sided KBOO hoodie. For $7 a month, you can get a KBOO bumper sticker. For $10 a month, you can get a Democracy Now! T-shirt. And for $5 a month, you can choose between either a black knit cap or a KBOO tote bag.
A black knit cap. Ooh. the cold months are going to end soon. You better get that knit cap. Keep your head warm while you're at work. There's being exploited.
Also some, they announced this today. There are some DVDs of Gaza Fights for Freedom, the documentary by Abby Martin. She got interviewed by Leila Kanaan and Jenka Soderbergh today. Mm-hmm. On Kabu, so people should go on kabu.fm and listen to that. Abby Martin is suing the state of Georgia for its anti-BDS or boycott, divestment, and sanctions moves to try to silence people who are supporting Palestinian human rights and against Israeli occupation of Palestine. So the documentary is featuring the 70th anniversary of the Nakba, or the Great Catastrophe, when so much was taken from Palestinians 71 now years ago, and it is becoming a world-renowned documentary that many people are coming together to speak about, that's helping to educate people about the occupation. And she got interviewed on Kabu today, and some of those DVDs are available too if you join Kabu. So I'm glad that you did it. So you're officially a member now, Lilith. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the family.
Wow. Welcome.
I feel so graciously welcomed right now.
Yeah. Do y'all want to talk about Umbrella? So last weekend, the Klan had originally intended to have a rally in downtown, and they did not show up. And we know that we on the left did a big mobilization, and there were hundreds of us out there to denounce them. And I count that as a win.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, they thought they had the power to come out and push their agenda and empower people to enact some violence. Then they would. There's nothing stopping them. So I see it as a win too. It's important to come out and fight so we can see where they're at, where we're at, and let them know that there's not a vacuum where they can have an echo, as we talked about last week.
So even though there was doubt about whether or not they would come out before we did our demo, I feel like it was important to show our strength and flex our collective muscles to be able to call on community and say, get down here and make it clear that this is not something that we will tolerate. So I feel like we were lucky that we didn't have to engage face to face with them like we have in the past. That it wasn't the Klan before. Now we've got an Imperial Wizard, which, okay, Imperial Wizard, okay. Right, okay. Wingardium Leviosa, okay, honey, Dumbledore. Whatever you want. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So they didn't show up.
It's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
Oh, I'm so not sorry. Leviosa. You know, my pronunciation is always messed up. Excuse me. So the next time that they or some other reactionary group wants to take our streets, I'm very much looking forward to seeing more people that are coming around the anti-fascist movement and the work that PopMa, Popular Mobilization, is doing around promoting everyday anti-fascism.
Exactly.
That it's not just about people who, you know, are seen as, you know, militant and tough and ready to fight. Like, yeah, that's part of it. But also, like, your grandmother is out there and she's decrying white supremacy and is
fascism all of the things.
So I'm glad when people are out there just giving an example to ordinary people in their lives, like, this is the right thing to do. So here we all are. So I just wanted to give that little report back for people who were thinking about it last week because I was telling people about it the night before. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to come back and give an update about what happened. And if I can also just remind people that tomorrow is the Vet Techs rally for a first veterinary union contract. Since Pet Vet was purchased, Columbia River veterinary specialists' worker pay has been frozen even as their workloads and prices for clients have increased. CRVS workers deserve liberal wages and an affordable health care package. Come to the rally to support their struggle for the first veterinary union contract in America.
Yes.
Yes, that's tomorrow at noon on the corner of Northeast 84th and Anderson Road. That's in Vancouver. So get up there, all the Vancouver people who listen, please come out. And there are more people who are going to be coming out next week. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that, but there's... new people who are coming into the movement. So shout out to my new union siblings. Y'all are great. And I look forward to people supporting you and taking you to victory. Yes, let's have the first veterinary union contract in the country. Boom, get it.
Meow. Hello. Meow, I'm sick. I need a veterinary tech who's represented by a union.
wonderful.
So what
do
about
we want to talk about?
There's the worker center. So if people are interested in hearing you say the term that don't even know about it, because you know Portland doesn't have a typical worker center like when I was thinking about what is it, Rock Restaurant
Opportunity
Center. They are the ones who come to my mind. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like here. So we're going to go to Jamie to give us a little bit of information about becoming a KBOO member, like what you just became, Lilith. Mm-hmm. Congratulations and welcome
Lilith
to the family.
Thank you. Thank you.
Y'all have been listening to The Struggle, this fabulous program, which... for everyday anti-fascists, which brings you report backs, updates, and coming events. And it turns out everybody's organizing a union, which makes my heart thrilled as a union person myself. But veterinary techs and more, you know. We want to make the world a better place, and just think about joining KBOO like joining a union. Now is the time to join KBOO. It's our winter membership drive, and you know you can. It's a choice. It's an open shop. You can benefit from the information, the tools, the inspiration that you get from the struggle, and other fabulous programs that KBOO provides. You can be a free rider. Or you can join your sisters, brothers, comrades in solidarity to build a stronger, more effective voice for social change. It's up to you. Join now. Go to your phone and dial 877-500-5266 or go make a secure donation online at kboo.fm. You know, I was a listener for almost 40 years.
Oh. Wow.
Before I contributed a dime to KBOO.
Since you were 1 year old.
Knock it off.
Don't wait 40 years. Join now.
Knock it off.
So what happened to me? I got one of those newfangled cell phones. So when they said, call now, I could whip out that phone and dial right then and there. So if you have one of those...
I think that's a line from a Missy Elliott song.
Newfangled cell phones, whip it out right now. Now's the time. Procrastination.
Flip it and reverse it.
Whip your phone out, flip it, reverse it, turn it back around, call the number.
You know he was using a razor.
And I understand that with these smartphones, if you got one of them.
Newfangled doohickeys.
You can just go right online.
Just like.
KBOO.FM. And we encourage you to contribute a monthly amount, become a sustainer, you know, like $10 a month. It'd be it would help us, and we know that we have a regular source of income if you can give us a regular sustaining contribution. So go to kboo.fm/give and donate now, or call, flip out that cell phone and call 877-500-5266. Raise your hand, stand up, count yourself in, and make a difference today. And like these wonderful hosts and great guests on The Struggle, let's hear some more.
Oh. All right, Lilith, we're back. Jamie, thank you
so much.
Thank you for spreading the word to the people. Lilith, so we're talking about struggling and giving money to places where you can get news that's not corporatized, it's putting the mic to the real people, the real working class. Talk about a worker center. How about that?
How about that?
what you know about that?
Let me tell you what I know about those.
What you know about a worker center?
Well, Willis.
What you know about a worker center? What you know about that?
Let me tell you, my worker center's popping.
Cool. Oh my gosh, shout out Lil Mama.
Oh my god.
She's part of the working class.
All the
now.
Bosses jocking. They chase me after school.
Jocking. They chase me.
We're going to have to play that song next week so people know what we're even talking about.
She said. Yeah. It's popping.
Oh, it's popping.
I gotta ask them. Because if I don't, anyway, talk about the worker center.
Okay, so worker centers. Worker centers are exciting. They're new, relatively, in regards to the terms of how long the labor movement has been around. So worker centers were a movement and a labor of love created out of a recognition that there were working class industries that have been traditionally hard to organize in traditional union organizing methods and in the organizational style of the traditional, more traditional labor movement, right? What we're talking about there is, for instance, some of these industries that have really struggled to unionize because of a whole lot of different reasons. For instance, the vet tech industry, where we don't have a single vet tech union in the country. We're looking at the first one in the country that we're hoping to all rally around tomorrow. We can also talk about, for instance, fast food industries. We look at the Burgerville Workers Union. Shout out to the long struggle that they've been engaging in.
The boycott is still on. Sorry, do not go out there getting the milkshake. Just go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else.
You can probably figure out how to make it at your dang house. Continue.
In a gosh darn blender of all things.
I know that's mother flipper.
Go down to Bed Bath & Beyond, find a mother flipping blender that's being made by labor that's ethical and that with workers that aren't calling for a strike.
Right. Oh. So speaking of strikes and labor organizing, we're going to circle around back to worker centers and industries that have long struggled to be able to move forward with unionization efforts. And so worker centers are a new form of worker organizing focused around engaging workers that have and those in the working class communities who've been traditionally struggled with integration into the traditional labor movement. What that means is getting creative about the ways that we approach organizing worker power and the ways that we approach dealing with bosses and people who would exploit the working class. And that looks a lot of different ways. One example of a community that has needed support in new innovative ways is construction workers and day laborers, right? Which is why we have places like the wonderful Vos Day Labor Center in here in Portland. And essentially what
a lot of these different worker centers are doing in a lot of different industries is bringing together people, doing community education, teaching workers what their rights are, teaching workers how to organize, how to create self-sustaining movements, and empowering them to help strategize new ways of making enforceable demands of their employers that they haven't been able to procure with a signed and agreed upon union contract. And so all across the country, workers are doing worker center organizing in a lot of different ways. Alyssa, you brought up ROC, which is the Restaurant Opportunity Center, which was born out of a need to organize and support workers in the food service and restaurant industry, where we see such a large disparity in regards to treatment, whether it's workers being treated like they are immensely dispensable and completely recyclable, or if it's talking about the ways that we see a complete disparity in regards to treatment of workers from the front of the house to the back of the house. You look at when you get into the fine dining market and you see the ways that the farther you get into the establishment, from the hostess to your server to your bartender to the wait staff to the people cleaning your tables to the people that are doing the dishes in the back and cooking back behind closed doors, the farther back you get into a lot of fine food, quote unquote fine food and fine dining establishments, the larger disparity you see in both race and pay grade for these workers. And so a lot of these different industries have struggled for so long to do union organizing, so they have created new forms of demanding power. They've been going out and talking to their community and doing exactly what Burgerville Workers Union is doing and saying, hey, please boycott these businesses until they engage in more ethical practices in regards to their workers. They're mobilizing entire communities around supporting the working class. They're looking at the implementation of new legislature that is demanded by, pushed by, and won by workers who are directly affected by said legislature. For instance, restaurant workers fighting for one fair wage for all in a lot of different states and cities across the country. So worker center organizing is new and it's exciting and it's got a lot of progress.
The One Fair Wage campaign was one where that there are some states, Oregon is not one of them, but there are some states that have a sub minimum wage.
Tipped minimum wage.
So like in DC at the time, at the last, it was at the Jobs with Justice convention in 2016.
Oh, well, would you look at that?
And we went to DC and linked up with ROC, and they were fighting for one fair wage because at the time it was $2.13 that tipped workers were getting. And it was a long fight that they were engaged in. And the people who were holding them back, we paid them a visit at their office, and like somebody got in that door and kept it open, and we were in there screaming, and they had the security all bugged out. They were trying to figure out what they were going to do. The receptionist looked all scared and everything. The people came out and said, we don't have any comment. We don't have any comment. It was very good.
Oh, my God.
I just love when things get raucous like that.
When they get scared, they should be scared.
Well, you know, like you're paying people poverty wages. You're out here killing people.
Yeah, you should be scared. Yeah, they're going to come back and kill you eventually.
Hashtag eat the rich.
Yeah, I mean.
If you're hungry, why wait?
Why wait for your paycheck to come through when you could eat your boss?
He's tender.
These people gotta eat
now.
There's new potential for that kind of action in Portland now. So
I'm
looking forward to being able to support ordinary workers in the restaurant and food industry here who are sick of having to put up with unfair labor practices at work. And I'm gonna get out there and bring as many friends as I can. So we got a note coming in, it is about
Phil Knight, right?
Yeah. Would you accept a donation from Phil Knight, CEO of Nike.
How big of a donation?
$100,000.
Under what circumstances?
If you were running for Portland mayor?
Oh, if I was running, like you're asking, if I was a global executive of Nike named Piper Crowell, and if I was running a sham campaign against Ted Wheeler, who's also awful, like, and if Phil Knight gave me a $100,000 donation, even though my mayoral run isn't connected to Nike at all, would I accept it? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be honored to.
Oh, you'd be honored.
I'd be honored. We'll talk about that, though, in a second. Jamie Partridge, any last words?
You're so funny.
Thanks, Jamie.
Well, I just...
Would you accept the $100,000 donation from Phil Knight?
You betcha. But this is so wonderful. I just love listening to the struggle, and I know you two do too, dear listener. And we're in the middle of KBOO's winter membership drive, so we're hearing about what Lilith is doing in organizing a workers' center, a self-sustaining workers' movement with enforceable demands. But we're talking about enforceable with community support. Community support for the workers, and that's exactly what we need here at KBOO. Is we need community support. It's a community project. I mean, we have these wonderful programmers who are volunteers, but they can't make this fabulous program happen without your support. And KBOO is organized people, you know, changing hearts and minds one listener at a time. That's what social change is about, right? You know, first you talk to one person, and then you talk to another person, and then you talk to another person.
Each one teach one.
You know, and first they
ignore one drop in the bucket, one grain of sand.
First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win.
All right.
Oh.
That's what KBOO's about, persistence in the struggle. Mm-hmm. The struggle. Ooh. Day in, day out.
That's the name of our show.
Until we win a better world. And we need you, dear listener, to go to the phone and contribute to help make KBOO the wonderful programming that it has. And you can just go to your phone and dial 877-500-5266 or go online to make a secure donation at kboo.fm. And we encourage you to consider making a sustainer donation, once a month donation, like $10 a month.
Or $100,000 a month, Phil Knight.
Yeah, Phil, if you're listening, I grew up around the corner from your little shop in Beaverton. You know, I'm your girl, so donate to KBOO. I'm joking.
There you go. So if you like Olivia, if you love Olivia,
if
like
you want
I
Olivia
do,
to be your Valentine.
I love you too, Jamie. My grandfather.
Then get on it. Get on your phone. Get on your computer. You know, 80% of KBOO's annual budget comes from you, the listener. And KBOO's about all these wonderful programs. But it's also like it's also this like community of 500 volunteers with less than 10 staff. I mean, it's people like you and like me that make this community happen. But only 1 out of 10 of our listeners have joined KBOO as members. 9 out of 10 of you have joined with your ears and your mind and your heart, and now it's time to take care of the paperwork. Get on your phone and dial 877-500-5266 or make a secure donation online at kboo.fm, and let's run this program out. The struggle.
So good. Thank you so much to special listener Opal, who said that we're making them smile right now.
Opal from Universal Preschool Now.
Yes, Opal from Universal Preschool Now.
Star. We're so thankful for you.
Perhaps future guest on the show.
Perhaps. We don't care about preschool on this show. I'm joking. Real listeners know that I'm joking. I was about to say my classroom name for my job, because I'm used to saying it throughout the day. KBOO listeners, we've loved having you tonight. Jamie, it's been a joy to hear your voice throughout the program.
Likewise.
Lilith, you educated us. You had so many wonderful things to say.
Pleasure.
And Alyssa, sitting next to you every week is the joy of my life. I'm so sad I missed it last week because I slammed my head into a wooden plank.
I'm just glad that you're still alive.
Yeah, I'm alive.
Oh.
A concussion can't get me down. Capitalism can't get me down. Cystic fibrosis can't get me down.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I love you.
I love you so much. And we love you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
That was a great
show. Opal said, "I'm literally screaming."
Aww. 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 So good. That's so funny. Yeah, that we. A good show. Look at this little man I drew. I don't even know who he is.
God.
Thank you. Pay you. Give you church money so they can protect your soul.
Oh God.
Your spirit. He shouldn't have set me up for that. He said, you give your church money so they can protect your soul.
You give your tithes.
Jamie, that was great.
Was that fun?
Thank you for riffing.
Yeah,
for really going were. With it.
Opal said, Jamie is fucking funny.
Yeah.
That was great. Oh, I love that. And next week, the theme is going to be my union. Nathan and Kate are going to come on next week. Yeah, I'm so excited. Woo!
Ooh, for a special episode.
Yeah.
What you know about me? What you know about me?
What you know about me?
Oh my God! So I guess we really should play that song next week, just so people know what we're talking about. Have some continuity. And we're also gonna have to talk about your hatred of Elizabeth Warren again. Somebody left a note at the end of the last show. Yeah, they were saying like, you need to like, or I forgot what the exact note was. I don't know if they left it in the box.
We could have talked about that tonight.
People are not happy with.